When did you think the change happened in Aspen? In other words, what do you feel the change when it happened? Tony Wagner was saying something about condos. I myself kind of feel that when they lengthened the airport for the first time, that bigger, they made it bigger and they had actual parking spaces for airplanes. That really changed the whole ecosystem of the kind of people that came. So no longer were people driving in, they were flying in, which was totally different because that 4-hour drive was, I mean, if you did that 4-hour drive, you earned your vacation, you earned your stay or your place in Aspen,
Yes.
you know?
You
Where,
really wanted to be here. It wasn't just a curiosity where you showed
yep.
up because you could afford it. Well, I agree with you. I believe that the airport is the largest economic driver to Aspen. And when we expanded it the first time, I think you're 100% correct that that's when Aspen really started to change. And you know, Tony's right too. When we started building condos, that was the first sign that people could capitalize on Aspen real estate. And it was like everybody then got a little taste like, wow, these condominiums are profitable and they're appreciating in value. And that just led to more and more condos, and more condos led to people buying houses in the West End, and that led to people remodeling houses in the West End, and then so on and so forth until the West End has become what it is, and Red Mountain is, you know, the something else you can hardly describe. So yeah, so I think it's a progression, and I think things really hit the fan during COVID, and that's when people started coming here as an escape, as an investment, as a place to work remotely. I mean, I've seen change my whole life, but that was when it started to feel absolutely overwhelming and kind of like we'd lost control of it, and everybody was sort of, you know, shoulders in the air, hands palm face up, saying, "What do we do? What do we do now?" This is something nobody anticipated, and it came all at once. So I think COVID has really had a huge impact on Aspen.
Do you think, and we've seen this here in Georgia, I'm sure Andy can say the same about Portland, particularly in Tybee Island, which is a little town right on the ocean out here. They got to a point where they had to lock out any more purchases or conversions into VRBOs because literally they were running out of places for people to live that needed to work there. So same kind of
Yeah,
thing as Aspen.
they did that in Maui, or were that in Hawaii, where that whole thing happened. That
They've done it in New York City too, believe it or not. So yeah, it happens everywhere. And you know, that's you know, the other thing I guess you could throw in with COVID and technology and some of the other factors that have led to this, you could the baby boomers are to blame a little bit too. I mean, my kids always point out to me and they say, "Hey, Dad, your generation is the reason we can't afford a house because you all own three of them," you know, and that's happened all over the country. And they're right. They're right. They yeah, that's
Well,
and low interest rates that, you know, everybody.
we survived Aspen because we had condos. My dad was one of these big law firms in LA in Century City, and when they settled, he was sort of made a partner or whatever, and was like, "I hate law, I'm out of here." Took his, his cashed out and went in, and was had one of his clients was a realtor in Aspen, Richard Schottland, and he said, "You got to come live here." And so we ended up in Aspen. And his advice was, you got to put all your money, take what you need to live for a year, and put the rest into condos because it's about to flip-flop. And I don't know how many times it's going to flip-flop, but something's going to happen here. So as soon as we got in there in 77, that's what my dad did. And not only that, but my dad had all those clients that he had in LA. And they were like, "Oh, now we got a guy in Aspen who could go help." So there were, my dad bought condos, plus he bought condos with other friends. So he's half partners with other ones and whatnot. And so we lived for 15 years just buying and selling condos. So it was a commodity. but it was how we survived and were able to stay there, you know. Yeah. Whereas Chris's dad had a shop.
And that's the balance. That is the balance. And you know, you have to make a living in order to live here. My ancestors sold their property so that they could stay here. Your family's, you know, flipped condos, and Chris's family had a ski shop. So you have to do something. So you do have to maintain an economy. But at some point, you got to look at it and say, yes, we are a tourist town. But when you start to do too much for the tourists and you end up with more tourists than you can handle, which I think we are at today, then you've overdone it. I mean, I think people look at this economic thing, and when they talk about Aspen being a tourism town, they don't even consider the fact that, like anything else, you can have too much of it. You can definitely have too much tourism. And you never hear anybody say that. It's like, we're a tourist economy, we got to keep it going, we got to keep it going. But we've overdone it. I mean,
it's always about more. You know how they always say it's not about more time, it's about quality time. And where has the quality gone?
It's
more. There is no more quality. And if you get back to the quality, that is what the Pepkeys tried to do with the music tent, with all the other stuff that they brought in. They were building sort of a community and a connection out into the world, where there was sort of a connection between both. Whereas now the Ideas Fest, it's not even close to the
design.
Well, but I see it too, that it's more of a commoditization of nature. So, you know, like Roger, you probably remember too, but you know, when we were in high school, we would on lunch zip up to Maroon Bells, you know, or whatever, and just hang out in the parking lot, and my friends would smoke cigarettes or whatever it was. And whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
or something. But now you got to take a bus, you know. And I've heard you have to schedule in advance and all this stuff now. And it's, we used to camp by the lake, you know. Now, if it's so overrun with people that you have to take a tour bus, I think that the original magic is gone.
For sure. Well, here's the thing. The three of us, our families, they did what they had to do so that their families could live and grow up in Aspen. Okay, so we talk about more. I don't think it was any of our parents who were driving that more attitude. Today, we are not. Our economy is not designed to provide a living for the people working in town so that their families can can live there. In fact, it's doing the opposite. Our economy is designed now to drive families out of town. So that's the big difference. And it's not families that are asking for more. It's corporations. It's Restoration Hardware. It's Gucci. It's Prada. It's all the money that's generated in Aspen. It pretty much leaves Aspen and goes to shareholders all over the world.
But
so
I think
that's
it's even
the difference.
I think it's even more than that, because you know, I was talking to Dee Dee Brinkman, who was involved with a few of the gals that started the Aspen Film Fest. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we were kids, I remember when that thing started, and I would go to those film festivals. Mm-hmm. And you know, it started with Ellen Koner and a bunch of friends getting together and having a couple movie parties and curating from watching out of movie parties, which mm-hmm. basically is how Sundance started, you know? And now it's just a person who lives in LA and has connections, and that's it. There is no, hey guys, bring some popcorn, you bring this, I'll bring that. And it's not, there, it isn't a barbecue viewing anymore.
No, and that's what's gone on with all events in Aspen. We have an event every week during the high seasons, and the high seasons are getting longer, and they're not designed for local people. They're designed to bring in people from outside by the thousands. The bigger, the better. So we've lost control. I mean, these events aren't for us.
Well, they were thinking about taking away the lawn passes for the music tent, you know, where anybody could sit out there and drink wine and eat cheese and just listen to these amazing musicians. And,
yeah. They don't want the riffraff hanging out there.
Well, when the ideas, the conference, the design conference, you could go for free or it was cheap. It was like 50 yeah. bucks or 25 bucks or 20 bucks. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. The Ideas Festival, which is sort of in replace of it.
Yeah.
I heard it's like 3,000 and more.
Yeah. Same with Food and Wine. That's $3,000 if you want to go for all 3 days.
Or just go to regular life. I remember getting a ski pass at Highlands for 120 bucks for the whole season.
Yeah.
But now it's like $3,000.
Yeah.
Now you went with the airport and both of you agreed on that. And I'm sure you're right. What I have to question because I remember when McDonald's came, that to me seems like a shift in a seismic shift in the culture of Aspen. And I don't want to blame McDonald's or Dan, whatever his name was. But before that, there were very few chain stores. I think there was Bullock's and there was Baskin Robbins.
No, but McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken tried. I think they made it like one season. I mean, that was a big thing back in the day. It was really hard for a restaurant to last more than one season.
Yeah. Well, McDonald's was around for a long time. They just sold out. It must have been only about 5 years ago. So they had a long stand in Aspen, but for a really long time, they were the only chain store in Aspen, and they kind of snuck in. I don't know how they did it, but at that point it was kind of a good thing because everyone saw McDonald's and they said, okay, that's ridiculous. That doesn't really fit here. The golden arches don't add to the scenery. And I think it kind of reminded people like, let's not let any more chains in here. And I think that
worked.
That's
a good point.
It worked for a long time. And now it, you know, whatever happened with that, I don't know. I mean, Harley Baldwin, he redeveloped that the block right in the middle of town. And he's the guy who invited in all the, you know, the high-end worldwide corporate chains. And
no,